Welcome to Coach Bennett's Podcast, where every run has a purpose, where kindness is hardcore, where this is about running, and this is not about running, where every starting line is a finish line in disguise, where rambling still gets you where you need to be, where pineapple will never ruin your pizza, and the sodas, adult and not adult kind, are always cold, and where there is room on the starting line for everybody. I'm Coach Bennett. Thank you for letting me be a part of your day. Let's get started. Welcome to episode 43 of Coach Bennett's Podcast. And this is a special one because we have on everyone's favorite guest, the one, the only, Coach Tammy Bennett, mindset coach extraordinaire for artists and athletes. We're so excited to have you back on. When I say we, I mean me, because there's only me. Thank you for being on, Coach Tammy.
You're welcome. And I'm the only guest so far, right? So when you say favorite, I mean, yes. I guess it has to be true.
Yes, you are our favorite guest. And you are right now our only guest. And you are the one that gets asked for more than anyone else on top of that. So any way you paint this picture, you're on top, because even if you were our least favorite guest, you'd still be our favorite guest. And I keep speaking in like a plurality here of our and we, so you take that any way you want. But I'm just happy to have you back on here because this is a really great episode, and it's one that I know a lot of people ask about. And I thought, you know what? If we're going to do this, let's do it right, and let's bring in the big gun. And the big gun is you, Coach Tammy.
Let's go.
All right, so the topic today happens to be goals, and I thought this would be an opportune time to do it because of what's happening. It's March, and you've got a lot of things starting, especially over the next couple of months. There's going to be fall marathon season, you've got outdoor track, you've got winter turning into spring, so people are starting to shake off that snow and say, you know what, I want to start moving again. Goals are taking place everywhere, not to mention the fact that we are about to enter into the sweet spot of spring marathon season. So we've just got a lot happening, and I thought this would be a perfect time for us to talk about goals, big-ass goals, little-ass goals, kick-ass goals, just all sorts of goals. And the first person I always think about when that term comes up is you. So thank you for being here.
I use it as a tool to like feel really good and have something to look forward to. So it's a lot more playful. And I want everybody to know goals can be a really fun thing.
All right. Well, let me just start at the beginning. All right. Like, you, what are your top five tips when it comes to goals? If you're talking to, let's say, an athlete, a runner, what would those top five tips be?
Okay. Here we go. These are not necessarily in order. Okay. But one is that a goal is not there to fix you or complete you or make you good enough. Okay. A goal is really going to be hard to sustain if you are wanting it because you think that then you'll finally be good enough. So if we use an example, let's say I have a runner that their goal is to run a marathon. Well, if that goal of the runners is to run a marathon so that they can feel like a legit runner, I think that can be a problem. Because then every time they're going to their training plan, that marathon training plan, and every time they're going to the workout, in there somewhere, they're saying, I need to do this so that I can be a legit runner. And that's a lot of times when they're telling themselves, I'm not a legit runner yet because I haven't done the marathon yet. So it can actually feel really hard to sustain because hidden in there is this message that you're not enough yet because you haven't achieved the goal yet. So instead, if we phrase that that goal of I want to run a marathon, let's talk about why and how you're already complete already. So maybe the goal looks like I'm already a legit runner and now I want to challenge myself to run a marathon because I've never done that before. And I want to grow my skills and my mindset and my fitness to be able to do a marathon. It's very different because you're coming from a place where you're already a legit runner. So that's my first tip.
Yeah, I love that. And that is probably something that almost everyone that listens to this podcast can relate to. Because that is one of those mentalities I think is so super common. I have to do this to be this.
Yeah. And it's just kind of discouraging because until Absolutely. You get that thing, you're telling yourself you're not enough yet. And that doesn't feel good.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing 30K long runs and speed runs and recovery runs and hill workouts and intervals, and somehow none of this counts and it or qualifies you as a real runner. It's this race that's going to do it. And that's fascinating. Now, that's a really, really cool first tip. All right, let's keep going.
Okay. So I think it's good to be open to picking a goal that stretches you out of your comfort zone. I tell my clients to pick a goal that feels a little bit barfy to you. Like it's a little bit, you know, you're going to have to stretch and get uncomfortable a little bit. And the purpose is because that's going to bring up your limiting beliefs. It's going to bring up your gremlins. It's going to bring up the obstacles that are going to get in your way. And it's going to teach you so much about yourself as a human and an athlete to be able to see those obstacles come up and to figure out how to overcome them. And so you're going to create such a deeper human experience if you do something that stretches you a little bit. If you're picking a goal that's nice and safe and doable, you're not really going to learn very much about yourself. You're not going to really grow much.
Yeah, I love that too. I also like the fact that you're acknowledging ahead of time that there will be struggle in here because you're trying to challenge yourself. So that's not a sign of failure. It's a sign of being on the right path. Like you mentioned, there are going to be some barriers. Like it's great to know that ahead of time as opposed to come up on one and say, uh-oh, there's a barrier here. What did I do wrong? It's like, no, this is proof of doing it right.
Should I bring up my chocolate chip cookie metaphor now?
I think you're the guest. So if you want to bring up your chocolate chip cookie metaphor, then go ahead and do it.
Let's do it. Anytime we can bring up food and snacks, I think it's a good thing.
Always.
So when I'm talking about goals and success, I always say what you just said, basically, that failure, setbacks, obstacles, hurdles, injuries, sicknesses, those types of things, they are part of the recipe of success. They are part of the recipe of a goal. Just like chocolate chips are part of a recipe for a chocolate chip cookie. You cannot have a chocolate chip cookie without chocolate chips. You cannot have a successful goal if it's big enough without some kind of failure, setback, disappointing moment. And so, like you said, if you know that from the get-go, from the beginning, when it happens, you're like, oh, yep, Coach Bennett's, both of them told me that this was going to happen. And here it is. Now we know that we have a goal that's big enough or stretching ourselves enough. And so you just take it as like, yep, this is part of it. Now how we're going to overcome it, instead of like, oh crap, everything's going wrong, I might as well fold in the towel and, you know, call it a day.
You know, every time you do the chocolate chip metaphor, chocolate chip cookie metaphor, I always forget that the chocolate chips in your metaphor are the struggles and the setbacks and the barriers. Because in my mind, the second you say you're going to do it, I immediately go to walnuts being in chocolate chip cookies and ruining them, and that being the setback or failure, even though I miss the entire point
exactly
of the metaphor by doing that. So I almost fall to this like very human, you know, behavior of a setback is a step back, as opposed to a setback is just part of this delicious cookie and journey you're going on. I go to walnuts. This is also my way of telling everyone in the audience that if you are ever going to gift me chocolate chip cookies, do not include nuts in the cookies. Not because I'm allergic. Well, I'm allergic to gross things, and I think walnuts and cookies just destroy them.
You're also missing the point that chocolate chips are mandatory in a chocolate chip recipe, cookie recipe. A lot of chocolate chip cookies don't have walnuts. So that doesn't even make sense, because my whole point is that failures have to be included or will be included. And that's just not the case with walnuts, because a lot of people don't put walnuts in their chocolate chip cookies.
Yes. No, I get it. I get that I'm missing it completely. I guess what I'm saying is the second I hear about this and we've talked about setbacks or failures, and then you bring up chocolate chip cookies, I think of just a failed chocolate chip cookie is one that has walnuts. So it's completely different. And I hope I'm not confusing people here. If you want to just focus on what Coach Tammy said, and then separately, walnuts kill chocolate chip cookies dead. I just want to throw that in there.
I would like to throw in, if you are giving cookies to us to Coach Bennett's, if you want to put walnuts in, you can put them in mine because I like them. That's all.
Why complicate things? You also like chocolate chip cookies without walnuts. Let's just keep it simple.
But if they really like putting walnuts in their recipe, I'm going to let them. I'll eat them. I love them.
All right. Next tip.
Next tip. This one I'm just going to call, there's no need to rush. And the funny thing is a lot of times I'll say it isn't a race, although for many of the listeners of this podcast, their goal is in fact going to be a race. But hear me out. What I mean by this is, remember, like we said at the beginning, getting the goal doesn't make you better. It doesn't complete you. It doesn't make you finally be a good something. So what's the rush? I think so often us humans tend to, I think we can get more done in a shorter amount of time. And then we get really stressed out if we aren't able to hit our goal in that small time period that we set for ourselves. And so sometimes we're still going to get that goal. It's just not going to happen as soon as we thought. So what we'll see a lot of times in a runner is they'll think that they're going to get this PR or run this certain distance at this certain race. And then something will come up. Maybe they'll have a setback. Maybe they'll get sick, something, or you know, it's just not their day. And so then they're so discouraged. I'm like, but wait a minute, you can still get that PR or you can still complete that distance. Maybe it just wasn't this race that it was going to happen, but it can still happen. So stay in tune, stay involved, and just know that this goal can still happen for you. It just might happen at a later date, and there's nothing wrong with that. When you finally get that goal, you're not going to be upset that it took you a little bit longer. You're going to be way too busy celebrating that it happened. So it's not a big deal if it takes you a little bit longer than you thought it was going to.
Yeah, I think that's a really important thing for people to hear, especially that are focused on the longer races that take such a time commitment. So for instance, you know, some marathons are 18 weeks of focused training. For half marathons, it's 14 weeks sometimes. A lot of times you'll see people as they get closer, maybe as you mentioned, life trips them up a little bit or they get sick and suddenly they can't do the race. And they forget that they did 12 or 14 weeks of work and all of the lessons and the wisdom they gained and the strength they got there. And yes, it's disappointing, which is one of the other things I like when you're talking about goals, is you don't hide from the fact that, yeah, it's okay to be disappointed. But to your point, it doesn't mean it can't happen. And it doesn't take away all the things that you've accomplished along the way, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you've sort of foreshadowed into another one of my tips. Should we just go ahead and dive in?
Yes, I love that. Foreshadowing. First time ever on this podcast. All right. Check okay. that box.
Okay. So I don't want you, when you're thinking about your goals, I don't want you to let the outcome determine how you feel about you. So you can be disappointed in the result that you didn't get that goal, but I don't want you to be disappointed in you. And here's where I like to bring up my scientist metaphor that you always make fun of, but I think it's really a good one. So can I do it?
Yeah. I think it's a good one to use.
Okay.
A little public service announcement for safety as well.
So I think about scientists and their goal, and they're in a lab and they mix the red chemical with the blue chemical and the lab explodes. Nobody's hurt. Nobody's ever hurt in my examples. Everybody gets out fine, but the lab is destroyed. This scientist is in a lab coat and they're like making notes. Nowhere in those notes are they like, damn it, I'm such a bad scientist. I'm going to give up science. And all that training was to no good. Like, I'm a terrible scientist. I'm going to, you know, become a tennis instructor. They're not saying that. Instead, they're writing down, whoa, make a note to self. Blue and red do not mix. That explodes the lab. Next time, let's try blue with green. And they're just not making it be, they're disappointed. The lab is shut down. I mean, it's going to take a while to order all those beakers and Bunsen burners and all that, right? But now you're laughing. So they're disappointed in the result. They're disappointed that they blew up the lab, assuming that their experiment wasn't like to make a bomb. But they're not disappointed in themselves as a scientist, right? They're like, okay, let's try again. What should we try next time? And I want the same to be true for the runners listening to this podcast. You might not get that result in that particular race, but it doesn't mean anything bad about you as a human. And it doesn't mean anything bad about you as a runner. It just means not all the right things came together to make that goal happen today, but they sure as hell might next time. So let's see what we can try differently or maybe do the same and it will work out better next time. But in no way are we disappointed in ourselves and making it be a problem about us.
Got you. And again, it's a great example. Can I offer up a few potential edits?
Yes,
you don't have to accept them.
Okay.
Okay. Number one, I the lab doesn't have to blow up in this fake story. I think that's an egregious error. if you don't know that mixing these two chemicals together is potentially going to blow up the entire lab, then maybe we need to just take a time out and figure out if we've got the right people working in the lab. That's all I'm saying. Maybe it's they thought the red and the green was going to make a yellow, and it didn't. So they went, oh, shucks. So that what they do is they jot down that it turned into purple, and that was something
they learned. Someone doesn't know their color wheel.
Well, listen, all I'm saying is maybe I'm wrong about the colors that we're making. I'm not wrong about whether or not the lab's going to blow up. That's all I'm saying. I'm doing the due diligence.
In my examples, my
the
people
lab
like,
blows up.
Yeah, and my people like to go big, and I like to be a little dramatic. And the point comes across either way.
I'm just thinking of the insurance, you know, having to deal with probably getting, you know, investors now for your next lab. All right, we'll move on. But it is a good and it's a valid point. And from a coaching perspective, that's super important to let the athlete know that sometimes, you know, there's an infinite variety of outcomes that can occur. You have to be okay with all of them. You know, if you're trying your best, it still might not work out. And that's not the you know, moment to be beating yourself up. It is the moment to be, you know, celebrating what you did and learning from what you did. And like you said, figuring out, jotting down in the book, these two colors blew up the lab. Let's maybe not do that next time. Or less of one, more of the other. All right. I like it. All right. Give us another tip, coach.
I've sort of lost count, but I have two or three more. So maybe it might not be five, but that's okay.
That's fine.
Okay. Okay. So another tip is to think about how you want to feel, right? So all of the goals that we have basically boil down to a feeling that we want to feel if we ask why enough. So an example of that might be, you know, a kid comes up to me and they say, I want to break 18 in the 5K. And I say, okay, great. Why? And they say, so that I can be on varsity on the team. And I say, okay, great. Why? Why do you want to be on varsity? And they say, because I want to be part of a team. I want to travel. I want to contribute. I want to help score. And so I'm like, okay, those are our feelings now. Those are the core feelings of what you want to feel. You don't necessarily just want to break 18. You want to feel like you belong and that you're contributing. And so if you can kind of think about your goal from the beginning of how do I want to feel, and then sort of work backwards and choose a goal that will help you feel that way, that's a really great way to go about it. Because I want you to start practicing that feeling before you hit the goal. So don't wait until you break 18 and make varsity before you can start feeling like you belong. I want you to start feeling like you belong before you hit that goal. So go ahead and start being a part of the team and bring snacks and sit with people and do the foam roller after practice and chat and, you know, talk about what's going on this weekend. So if you can go ahead and start practicing those feelings that you think this goal is going to give you, the goal is actually going to be easier to achieve.
Yeah. And it's also, I love that, especially because what you said, you don't have to really wait to have those feelings. You know, you don't have to wait to achieve the goal to have those feelings. If you think about it, if breaking 18 puts you on varsity, then it's the training that you're doing to get there is contributing to the team. You're helping on runs. You're showing up for practice. You're somebody that maybe the younger kids can look at. You're achieving all of these things that are technically nailing what you want, which is, I want to be a contributor. I want to feel like I'm a part of a team. I want to help out. You're doing all of that on your way to achieving the goal.
Exactly.
So I love, like, why wait to feel those things based on some potential race that may or may not happen when you've been doing this the entire time?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
It's good.
It is good. All right. Keep them coming.
Okay. Another one is just sort of this reminder that goals go against your brain, right? So your brain doesn't really want you to pick a goal that stretches you out of your comfort zone, because your brain's job is to keep you safe from risk. Your brain wants to be efficient. It doesn't want to learn a bunch of new skills. It doesn't want to learn how to overcome all of these hard things. Your brain doesn't want you to go run out in the freezing rain, right? It wants you to be comfortable. And so you're going to sort of have to fight your own brain a little bit when you're going after a goal. And so just, I think if we can just normalize that a little bit, like, this is going to be hard. It's going to kind of go against the grain, go against the brain, then I think it can just kind of calm us down a little bit, why it just doesn't always come so easily to us. You know, there are going to be times when your brain's like, sit in the house where it's nice and warm and watch Netflix, just one more episode. Don't go for the run, because it feels way more comfortable for your brain. So it's okay that your brain's going to try to keep you small and from accomplishing it. It doesn't mean that anything's gone wrong. It just means you have a human brain. And so if we just normalize it, then it makes it less of a problem.
And I think obviously starting this at the very beginning and knowing that maybe helps you unlock other goals or even bigger challenges that you would normally shy away from.
Yeah, like what?
Well, like for instance, like you said, it's you think a goal should really take you out of your comfort zone a little bit. And if you're saying your brain likes to keep you in that comfort zone, it does help to maybe sit down with your potential goals and say, okay, am I setting this goal because it's easy? And am I not looking at this goal because it's a challenge and I'm scared of that? And there's got to obviously be a balance, because I'm never going to jump up and touch the moon. But, you know, there are certain challenges that maybe I say, ooh, this is going to be asking a lot of me and that's going to be hard and I don't think I can do it and I don't know if I'm going to have the time and I'm already quitting on it before I've even started. Is that kind of something to be on the lookout of? Like, are you kind of sabotaging yourself because you're trained in some ways to protect yourself by sabotaging challenges?
Yeah. And I think that there's kind of levels, right? So when I said choose a goal that makes you feel a little bit barfy, I don't want you to choose one that makes you paralyzed with fear, right? So there's a nice kind of Goldilocks level where it's just right. You have just enough discomfort stretching you out of your comfort zone to be a good one, but you don't want to go into something, a goal that feels so lofty that it's going to be just hard, so hard to get yourself to do any of it. So yeah, I think, and I think that brings up something I wanted to say too, is don't pick a goal. Like, it doesn't have to be this grandiose, gigantic goal to be worth it. So like in running, a lot of times you'll see people choose the marathon because they think that's the goal that you should pick. Your goal can be to run a mile, or your goal can be to run for a 5K, or to go do a speed workout. Your goal doesn't have to be this gigantic thing just because that's sort of what society says is a good goal. So it's what you brought up is a great point to check in with yourself and see, is this sort of in my Goldilocks level of discomfort where I'm not being paralyzed because it's too big? And it doesn't feel so safe that it's like not even a challenge. We want somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because when people finish, it usually happens when people finish their first marathon, I'll get asked by people very soon after, what marathon should I do next? And I say, are there no like 5Ks or 10Ks around you? Like, why? And they're like, oh, well, and yeah, I can tell that they've never even thought of that, because they assume the challenges have to get more severe in certain metrics. Like, it has to either be faster or further, as opposed to, well, why can't you do like a shorter trail marathon? Or, I mean, not trail. Why can't you do like a shorter trail race where the pace is going to, you know, not matter and the distance is going to be shorter than a marathon, but it's going to challenge you in different ways? Or why don't you do a road 5K and just have some fun? And, you know, you don't even have to race. Maybe it's, can you run consistently for a couple months without a goal? And that allows you to kind of mix things up and maybe just work on being a better coach. It doesn't always have to be so difficult.
Yeah, which brings me to my last point. This was a perfect segue.
All right, let's go. And by the way, like, no joke, like, if you've ever hung out with Tammy or myself or both of us at the same time, like, there is no planning. Like, and I mean that in a good way. I mean, there's some planning, I guess, but like, I really have no idea what your points are. I've heard you talk before, but I don't remember the order. I don't know anything. So the segues are just magically happening.
Magically happening.
There we go. There's so much magic on this podcast. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Give us that last one.
My last tip is, it's okay, and I might even say imperative, to let the goal be fun. You don't have to grind away and do these drudgery tasks to make a goal worthwhile. You are going to learn how to overcome all the gremlins and demons and obstacles that come up, no matter what your goal is. It literally doesn't matter. You're still going to have to overcome some obstacles and get out of your own way. Might as well pick a fun goal. to learn those obstacles and to learn how to get over your limiting beliefs. So a lot of people think that it's not worthwhile to choose a goal that would be fun. And I think that's some things that we need to unlearn.
I agree. And I think you shouldn't assume that because you're serious about accomplishing a goal, that it has to always be serious.
Serious about having fun.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. Serious about having fun. All right, I've got some rapid fire questions for you. Can I just rip them out and you can just give short answers?
Let's do it.
Okay. Do all goals have to be big goals?
No. No.
Okay, you can. I didn't mean it to be that short. Like, you can do. It doesn't have to be one word answer.
No is a complete sentence for that, though. I mean, seriously. No. Your goal can be, literally, your goal can be to get yourself to run one day this week that you normally wouldn't have. I mean, it can be so tiny. Like, my goal for today could be, like, go outside and go for a walk. I mean, it can be what maybe society says is tiny, but if it feels like a little bit of a challenge to you, then it's perfect.
Okay, and how do you feel about the mindset around you've got a big goal? And how it really, like, how do you navigate the fact that that big goal really is just a compilation of lots of smaller goals?
Yeah, that's exactly how I deal with it, is I break it down. Here's the big goal. What's the tiniest little step that I can do towards it today? And then I'm going to go do that. And not only that, because a lot of people will say that, but they forget this next important part. And then I'm going to celebrate and acknowledge that I took that tiny step instead of saying, oh, but I just did a little teeny thing that doesn't really count. Uh-uh. You did something. Now go celebrate it and acknowledge it. And all of those tiny steps that you do and then acknowledge and celebrate that you did are going to lead up to that big goal for sure.
Love it. That was last week's episode, basically. If you can't do the run you want to do the run you can do. I mean, it was a form of what you basically just said. Okay. And the celebration part. Okay. Is it okay to have a couple of goals at the same time?
It's okay. Yes. And I would recommend kind of choosing one that sort of like wears the sash. Like, that's the main one that you're focusing on and prioritizing. And you're sort of making sure that you work on that one. And then you can sort of give attention to the other ones.
I love that. Because I get questions sometimes from people that are doing kind of two sports. Sometimes it's like they're doing a lot of like lifting or something, and they also want to run.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know, like, okay, well, where's the give and where's the take? And I said, well, which is the priority goal? Because then everything is kind of in service to that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're constantly battling each day, which one am I actually more focused on? Which one is the priority? I'm like, you're losing every day.
And so, you're wasting a lot of mental energy, lot of mental energy that you could be spending on that priority goal. And also, you need to check in and just see, like, does one of these kind of impact the other in a negative way? Like, if mm-hmm. I'm doing a lot towards goal A, does that make me too tired or too sore or, you know, whatever for goal B? If that's mm-hmm. the case, then it's really important to choose which one is the priority.
Okay, I like that. That's actually segueing into my next rapid fire question for you, which is it okay to stop a goal?
Yes, yes, yes. And I could leave it as a complete sentence there. I will say that I think it can be useful to complete a goal, change it, stop it, whatever you want to call it, from a neutral or positive place. So instead of quitting when the chips are down and it feels hard, get yourself back into a neutral place where you're just like, this is the goal, this is how it's going, very neutral. And then if you don't want to continue it, then you can stop it at that point.
Yeah, I love that. That was kind of the rule when I was coaching high school, remember? If a kid was really struggling, would come up and say, I don't think I want to do this anymore. I'd say, okay, how about this? How about you set a personal best and come up to me, and if you want to quit, you can quit.
I love that.
Because I usually tell that they were in a place where it was just a struggle fest right now. And we were going through one of those periods in the desert type of the things. And mm-hmm. you're wondering, why am I doing this? And I can tell the difference between someone who's just, they don't enjoy it anymore. And that's okay. But there's a difference between I don't enjoy it and I'm not enjoying the struggle.
Right.
As opposed to like, oh, this is a part of it. You know, and it goes back to what you said earlier. Just it is one of the chocolate chips in the chocolate chip cookie, as opposed to I'm not good at this. And it's like, no, you're one of the chips in the cookie, baby. Come on. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the cookie. Like, that's part of it.
Yeah.
Which is such a relief also, I think, to some athletes of realizing you're not doing it wrong. You're not bad at this. This is a part of it. And if anything, this is proof, right? That you are just on this really hard, challenging journey that you chose to be on, which is kind of badass. All right. I've got one or two more. And then I'm just going to thank you for being here. Okay. This is something that is really common. And I think it's another thing that's important for people to maybe be okay with when it happens. But also, I'd like some advice for when it happens. A lot of times when people set a goal, and it's a goal that really matters to them, and they accomplish the goal, there's like a bit of a hangover afterwards.
Some blues.
So, which is sometimes confusing for people because they think it should just be this nonstop euphoria because they accomplished a goal. Why do you think that occurs? And what advice do you give to people going through that kind of post-accomplishment blues?
I think why it occurs, there's a couple reasons. One is because that has been our purpose. That has been our like guiding light for so long. And now when it's not there, we're like, well, now what do? We feel a little bit listless, purposeless. Another reason that it happens to some people is because they thought that this goal was going to fix them, right? Like we kind of talked about at the beginning. They thought, once I hit that, then I'll be happy. Once I hit that, then I'll feel like a whatever, whatever. And they're like, whoa, I'm the same old me, right? So I think it's very, very common and it's very, very okay that that happens. And I, in fact, when I'm coaching people about a goal, I actually have them schedule in some do nothing time afterwards. So if the goal was to run a certain race and now you've achieved it, you've accomplished it. If you already have scheduled in some time where you're not running and you're not really like competing, you're not thinking about the next race yet. If you've already scheduled that in, it kind of normalizes it and it doesn't make you feel like you're purposeless and just kind of floating around. The one thing I will say that I think is really helpful to do during that do nothing time is to sort of bask in the glow of what you've just accomplished, to really reflect on it, look at all the things that you did to accomplish it. And just, I always imagine me sitting on this big boulder, this big rock out in the sun and just being in the warmth and just reflecting on it and being so grateful for all the things that you learned, the friends that you met along the way, all of those hard moments, all those chocolate chips that you got through, and to really just kind of celebrate the fact that you got there. And I think that's one way to sort of ease into that transition of what's next.
So just a really thoughtful salamander on some type of warm rock. That's what you are.
Yes.
Mm. What a visual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You ready for my last question?
Let's go.
Okay. So I'm an athlete and I'm either about to set a goal or I'm in the midst of the journey towards a goal. And I know that it would really help me to work on my mindset in a number of different ways. How do I get in touch with you?
Oh, great question. You can look me up online, showupsociety.com, or you can find me on Instagram at showupsociety.
All right. Fantastic. So drop Coach a line if you're interested, if you have a race coming up or you want to set a goal, you're in the midst of something that's challenging. And by the way, this isn't just running, right? This isn't just, I mean, you don't just work with runners.
I work with artists, runners, and I work with all the humans that are neither or both of those things.
Oh, wow. Okay. So everybody.
Everybody.
There we go.
Come all. Let's have some fun.
Even people who put walnuts in their cookies, much to the chagrin of people like me. I will say this, like I will eat around the walnut. You know what I mean? Like the little bits of walnuts. If anyone does send chocolate chip cookies with walnuts, because I have a feeling this is going to happen now to the peel box, just let me know, because I don't mind eating around them, but I just don't like biting into a chocolate chip cookie and being surprised. I love being surprised in life. Biting into a cookie is not one of those places, unless I'm surprised at how delicious it is. But I'm telling you ahead of time, They're just gross. They're tasteless. They're kind of oily. They're softer than you feel they should be. You know, it's a weird walnut. Like that's just, come on. Unless it's like Walnut Grove, that sounds like pretty. Walnuts, ugh. Like squash. Like who wants to eat? Give me some squash, cottage cheese. Ugh, walnuts.
Sour cream.
Sour cream, but cream is
such
a pretty
word. But it's sour. It's like it's been sitting out and it got sour.
I know. It's a the sour, whoever named that, that marketing professional should have been fired immediately. But it works. It what it does, you overlook it. But yeah, sour cream is a gross one. Eggplant. That's disgusting. What a terrible word.
Can you imagine if there was an eggplant, like eggs just grew on this bush? It would stink.
Well, if they weren't picked at the right time and they kind of fell like apples do sometimes. Ew, yeah. And like underneath the bush was just cracked eggs. Well, I don't know. On this egg bush, Are they like hard boiled eggs?
In my imagination, they were, but that makes no sense.
Makes no sense. But it makes no sense to have an egg bush anyway.
True.
So if they're hard boiled eggs, yeah, that would just be horrendous. Just that farm of just maybe a bunch just start dropping down, because it's not like you're going to have people showing up to pay like with baskets to pick hard boiled eggs, are you?
I mean, you could, especially you like could. Picnic season, all the deviled eggs makers would come.
Oh, deviled eggs. I just want nothing to do with that either.
Me
what
either.
Is a deviled egg?
You take What's out it? The yolk and you like mix it around with some scary stuff and you put it back into the egg and then you give it to people.
No, that's not true.
Sure it is.
I thought a deviled egg was like they just put like paprika on it or something.
No,
weird.
You take out the yolk and you mix it around with like, I don't know, mayonnaise or something. And you stir it around until it's
are
like.
Are you just trying to make something gross?
I think that's like, right.
And then they leave it in the sun and four strangers will spit in it and then they serve it. Like what? You're just making stuff up.
No, I'm pretty sure they mix the yolk with something gross and they put it back into the egg.
That's just an impossibility. That's just not real. It's not real.
I'm pretty sure that's what happens.
All right. Well, I'm also not going to look it up because I just don't want to know. I also don't want to give you the satisfaction of being like, you see, and like literally read like how to make a deviled egg. And it's like, take out the yolk. And then it's like 3 ounces of something gross. And you're like, it's that vague. Like just anything gross.
Anything gross.
Anything gross. All right. Well, I
so
do.
Don't send us any eggs in the mail. Okay.
No. Oh gosh. Please don't. Please don't.
Unless.
No.
They're like chocolate eggs or Cadbury cream eggs. You could send those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How is this all about you suddenly? This isn't the two Coach Bennett's talking. This is Coach Bennett's
podcast.
But
we share the same post office box. So
we do.
Things that they send to you, obviously, if I check the mail, I might sample them on the way home.
Yes. Especially if, well, they could just say this is actually to Coach Tammy and not, they could specifically say not Coach Chris.
Or they could put Coach Bennett and then we would both have a right to it.
It's true. It's true. But if it's a little heavy and unwieldy and smells faintly like sulfur, I'm just going to allow you to have it. That's honey. Somebody sent some deviled eggs. They're dripping through the paper.
Ew.
The paper envelope. All right. Listen, we've wound this down and this was really fun. I'm so happy you came back on the episode. Goals is something that I know we're going to touch on in a lot of different ways. So this was really just the beginning of a number of episodes that we're going to do on goals. So I'd love to have you back on during the height of some of the racing seasons, maybe even have a mailbag specifically about goals. So
this is foreshadowing.
This is, once again, foreshadowing you coming back on the show. So thank you for being here. And I'm going to make sure to put all the links so you can find and follow and reach out to Coach Tammy on the show notes. And this was episode 43. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Coach Tammy, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I look forward to having you back on. All right, everybody, that's the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for rating. Thanks for reviewing. Thanks for listening to this episode 2, 3, maybe 4 times because it was so darn good. And until next time, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. I'll meet you on your next starting line. Thank you so much for listening to Coach Bennett's podcast today. And if you're not already following or subscribed to the podcast on whatever platform you're listening, well, I really wish you would because it helps a lot. Also, check out the show notes because you'll find a link to Coach Bennett's newsletter as well as all the social media sites that I'm on. Places like Threads and Facebook and Instagram and Mastodon and YouTube and even the artist formerly known as Twitter, whatever that dumpster fire is called today, you'll find a link to it because I'm on there. Thank you so much again for listening. And until next time, take care of yourself.